Hey, it's Todd Duncan. Welcome to High Trust Today, the podcast. I'm on a quest to help people win in business and in life. To do that, I know they must trust themselves, their relationships, their business, and they most certainly must trust their future. When you do that, you set in motion a universe of possibilities, and that journey begins right now.
You know, one of the things we talked about while we were doing this is, you know, how can this help you? So I thought I'd turn that over to Jim. I think he's got a pretty good grasp of kind of what we can do and what our goal is today.
So preparing for this week, Marty and I went back. We looked at the last 12 or 14 months, and we found that 40 out of 45 of my buyer sides, I was able to get to Marty for a face-to-face consultation. As of yesterday, we've closed 37 of them. And the three that didn't close were three that did not buy per him telling them not to buy. So what are you doing? So in other words, a 100% closing ratio. Now let me ask you, I don't know any salesman selling anything anywhere that wouldn't love to have a 100% closing ratio. So if I could tell you why I get more out of this relationship and then also show you how you can have the same relationship, could that be a game changer for 2019 for you? Could it? Great. Well, Marty, let's hit him with it.
Yeah. So one of the coolest things is you know he made a joke about that and about you know why would you tell them that, and I think that. That goes back to our high trust interview. I think it's, you know, when I do my high trust interview, I don't take anything with me. If I go meet with a new agent, I literally have my little notebook that I carry around everywhere, kind of stuck in this suit, but anyway, it's in there. But that's about it. I don't have any flyers. I don't talk about rates or anything because I really just want to know if there's a good connection, if this is the right type of person. And that's the first thing I would say about Jim is, he's totally fine with me advising a client that they should not buy right now. And that's probably the coolest thing. He had a client one time he sent me that had they were selling two homes and buying one. And by the time they left, they sold one house and didn't buy anything. And I have to admit, I was a little nervous about kind of explaining to him how that meeting went. And he was like, absolutely, thank you so much. And it was a tax issue that the client wasn't aware of that actually saved him a lot. So Jim has broken down five main things, and we did this at Elite in Miami, and there's five key categories that kind of sum up the why behind this. So we're going to roll through those, and then we'll kind of get into some more stuff, and I'll kind of pick out some stuff along the way. So why don't you start, number one reason why you send clients to me?
Well, the number one reason is credibility. In order for me to maintain a high trust business model, I've got to have credibility. And folks, I think you'll agree with me. I don't think anyone can have enough credibility. So when I'm able to get my clients to meet with Marty and Marty do what he does as well as he does what he does, then, you know, my credibility is heightened to a level to where now I'm able to get the client to follow me instead of me following them. Because I tell you, first 7 years of my career, and before I started doing business with Marty, you know, I followed the client. And I'm sure if there's real estate agents here in the audience here, they know what I'm talking about. Having a high trust business model, we got to have credibility. So being able to send my clients to a specific resource where they're going to get the best advice adds credibility to me. And then one of the things that Marty does is that after he does his presentation with my clients, he goes, you know, I've given you a lot of good advice today, but probably the best advice I can tell you is do exactly what Jim Moore suggests that you do. So when they get bounced back to me, I'm in control. I appreciate how you do that, Marty.
Now, is that something that just happened, or is that something that we kind of discussed and orchestrated and talked about?
Well, yeah, it was a part of the coaching that I was a benefit of your high trust coaching that you had had, and I benefited from that. So it was the planning and, you know, well, you know, Jim, how do we build credibility? And that's when we came up with the home buyer orientation, and we build credibility there to the point to where I can now get the clients to commit to coming to you, and then you bounce them back to me. So it was something that was very strategic. It wasn't something that just happened like that. It was something that I was a very willing participant, but he created it. Does that make sense? So he's not only he's not just a loan officer, a loan expert. He became a coach in helping me build a phenomenal real estate business.
So in Todd's books, and certainly in Elite and Sales Academy and everything else, it's called the cross sell. And one of the people that I kind of learned it from was R.J. Crosby. We talked about it through a series of meetings and kind of was able to meet with Jim and just talk about, you know, at what different points can I help build credibility for you? And certainly the answer, by the way, is every possible point. And then how can you do that? Well, the first phone call. Wow, congratulations on working with Jim Moore. Out of 3,000 agents in our market, you were fortunate enough to find the one. You know, how did you get so lucky? How'd you meet Jim? Stuff like that. So, but it's all stuff that we talked about through different meetings, okay? So it also works both ways. You know, he builds trust with the client and then uses that trust and credibility to refer me, telling them how good I am and what I can help them do. I, in turn, give him more credibility through the meeting and everything I can say, which makes them trust him more, which then he turns around and tells them more about me, and it works out pretty good. So credibility is a huge point. Now, I think this next one's going to get some attention. What's the next one?
Well, the next point is, I believe that the mortgage is the most important part of a real estate transaction. It's more important than I am. Am I getting some applause on that? All right. Now, the one thing I get from a lot of loan officers is they go, well, Jim, how can I get other real estate agents to believe that? So I'm going to give you two parts of that belief for me. Well, one is my fiduciary responsibility. As a real estate agent, I have fiduciary responsibility to make sure that my clients are getting accurate, up-to-date information that's going to affect their financial position. And listen, guys, I mean, you know, owning a home is the largest asset with the largest debt service that most families are going to have. You can't tell me that because a family's going to change their home about every 7 or 8 years, well, your all's business changed yesterday, and it's going to change tomorrow, right? I mean, that's just the nature of your all's business. How am I to assume that my clients every 8 years are going to know exactly what to do when it comes to a mortgage? Now, I can leave them to go out in this wonderful technology that we have out there that'll give them partial truths or lead them to believe that they can just get online and put in some information and get the loan that they need. But it's my responsibility to educate them and let them know that they need to have their financial fingerprint read in order for them to intelligently be able to make a decision on how they're going to move forward with the home. Now, the second part of it is that by doing that, Marty, my clients now are in a position for me to be able to sell, for me to be the salesman that I need and want to be in advising them. Do you remember one time I came to you early on and I said, is there any room for salesmanship in this industry? Because it sure didn't seem like it was. Well, salesmanship is being able to identify someone's needs and their problems and being able to come up with solutions. Well, I can't effectively help them solve the problem of owning a home if I don't have all the details and they don't have all the details about how they're going to pay for it. So it's for those reasons, and I don't think I need to explain any more. That's the most important part of the transaction.
Yeah, I loved it. If they don't have the money, they can't buy the house. I mean, the first time I asked him that, I was like, you need to help me understand that a little bit. He was like, no money, no house. I was like, that's pretty good. But I think it's important for us to understand that. I think sometimes we lose a little bit of a sight of the fact that how critical our role is. Part of that is because a lot of times we don't really do as much as we could for a client. But when you really look at the opportunity we have to impact clients' lives through real mortgage planning, it's amazing. I mean, Cody Hardridge said, all we're talking about is their home, their family, and their money. Other than that, it's not very important to them. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. So understanding, in his mind, how critical the mortgage is, you know, he told me a story. I think I'll have you. Remember you were telling me about how real estate agents, they just kind of drive around aimlessly and they don't really have confidence in what's going on because they really don't have a plan. You know, they don't know. They've got a pre-approval letter that most of the time they don't believe in, really, right?
That's right. That's right.
So it's hard for them to have much confidence, and therefore the client, if the real estate agent doesn't have a lot of confidence in what the strategy is, imagine what the client's actually feeling.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then that leads to some indecision and stuff like that, right?
Exactly. And that's what we were going to get into the other reasons that we
Okay. So number three, I'll pull it up here.
Right.
I'm not clicking. There it is. Cognitive information.
Well, we're going to make that a little bit easier. I like to use the word cognitive because it's the part of our brains that we really.
You said fiduciary a minute ago instead of fiduciary, but.
Yeah,
I can give you a hard time.
The bottom line is I'm responsible for them making intelligent decisions. When a seller and a buyer are trying to make a decision on how they're going to sell a home or buy a home, you know, the thing is we as real estate agents are dealing with is we're dealing with emotional decisions. And as real estate agents, that if we allow our clients to go through the entire process making emotional decisions, then it'll either take forever for them to make a decision or they'll never make one at all, which means I'm working for like a quarter an hour. I don't want to do that. But if I understand that if I insert cognitive information, which is the part of the brain that deciphers facts and figures and so on and so forth, now I've got a brain that I can take the emotional and the cognitive, and now they're ready to act. So I found out pretty quickly when I started working with Marty that a magical thing happened is that if I could get the clients to Marty, almost immediately, they were ready to act. Immediately. And it didn't just happen one out of five times or one out of seven times. Lucky for me, it's happened 37 times.
Lucky for me, too.
Lucky for him, too. So being able to get my clients to Marty to get the information that they need presented in a way that they can trust allows the cognitive part of that brain and me to be able to get in to actually help them make the decisions that they want to make.
Yeah. So again, that's something that we sat down, of course, and kind of worked through. And a lot of this comes, people always ask, you know, on a partner planning meeting, which I find is something that really doesn't happen very often. A partner planning meeting in our industry happens almost as frequently as an annual review happens, which isn't very often. I had one of my loan officers told me he does annual reviews with all of his clients, and I was like, well, how do you do that? He said, well, I do a slide dial the month that they close every year, and I went, that's an annual voicemail. So a partner planning session generally is lunch or a game or something like that, but that's not what we're talking about.
No.
How often do we meet?
At least once a month.
Okay. And how often do we meet where we literally, you and I just sit down with notebooks, talk through, here's what went well, here's what didn't go well, here's where I, what can I do to help you, stuff like that. How often is that meeting?
Well, that details at least once a month.
Right.
But you and I are interacting. Feels like daily, but
when we got started, how often did we?
Well, when we first got started, it was every other week.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was even weekly to begin with.
So I think, you know, when I talk to lenders, they say, you know, what do you all talk about? It's literally this stuff. You know, what can I do? Where are your pain points? So he gives me a lot of credit for coaching. It's more like a funnel. All I did is take information I learned from Todd and Brian and Brian and RJ and everybody in Elite and everything else and Jim McMahon and Tim Broadhurst, and my first sales mastery was 2004, and he wanted access to it, so I would kind of funnel it through to him. But we would sit down and talk, and he would say, well, one of the problems I have is, you know, it takes people forever to decide to buy a house. You know, well, why is that? Well, I don't think they're really confident in what they're doing. You know, they don't know what they want. And I remember he said, I used to think it's because they didn't know what kind of house they wanted, but really it was because they didn't feel comfortable enough with their finances. And every agent I talk to will kind of say that a lot of times, or most of the time, the house that somebody has in mind when they go looking for a home is never the one that they buy. It's always different. They're a lot more flexible on those things than they are with their money, of course, because they're scared. So we sat down and kind of developed part of the presentation years ago where we wanted to make sure that the client really knew what their numbers were, okay? So there's two numbers that really go into that. Every client wants to know how much money they have to bring to closing, all of them, and what their payment would be. And there's some other stuff, but if we're doing the 80-20 rule, that's more than 80 of it. Mm-hmm. If you can very confidently tell someone what their payment's going to be and how much they have to bring to closing, and do it in a way where they know what'll happen if it changes $10,000 or whatever, then they're empowered to go move and make that decision. So we track a lot of stuff in our office, and from the pre-purchase consultation to the closing with Jim's client is literally on average a month less than every other real estate agent.
And the reason that I've seen this happen time and time again is that we as real estate agents, you know, we get so frustrated. So, well, this week we're looking at ranches, and next week we're looking at master ups, and the next week we're looking at master downs, and now we're over in that county, and it's just they're all over the place. But when I started getting my clients to Marty face-to-face, I mean, literally, it seems like to me, we're in, you say it's a month, it's more like a week or two. I mean, that's how quickly it happens. We as real estate agents think that our clients are wrapped up in, you know, what lot they're going to get or what plan or so on and so forth. I can guarantee you that 90% of the problems that a real estate agent has in a process is financial driven. It's financial driven. Their clients are not getting everything that they need to know presented in a high trust manner in order to feel confident to move forward. They also have got to have the information presented in a way that allows me as a salesperson to have the right information from Marty that will help me to show a family how a new $500,000 house costs the same to own as a 15-year-old $400,000 house. So why are you going to settle for a 15-year-old $400,000 home and you're not buying the $500,000 because all you see is $100,000? That's all they see. But when they've met with Marty, Marty's Marty's been able to turn that part of their brain on that it allows me now to steer. And that's why I'm able to sell homes so quickly.
So the next one's pretty self-explanatory. It's the number four reason is that it allows the client to prove that they're ready to buy or sell.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we've talked about is how I can help your clients that you've listed a home for. So why don't you touch on that for a second?
Well, before I get into that, it's what Marty's alluding to is that I have boundaries with my buyers and sellers. It was because of the influence that I got through him and Todd and Jim McMahon and some other people, they convinced me that I didn't have to be everything to everybody, but I could be everything to a few. But in order for me to do that, I had to start setting boundaries in my business. So one of my boundaries is that when I go to list a home, we have an agreement that they're going to set a meeting with Marty within 72 hours. And a lot of people go, well, Jim, that's awfully demanding, isn't it? I go, well, here's the thing. If I sell the house, you're going to have to get advice from a mortgage advisor anyway, right? So why don't we go ahead and get that out of the way? But psychologically, what I have found is that because of the in-depth consultation that Marty does, 99% of my clients come out of that meeting realizing that they don't have to have that preconceived idea out of their home that they thought. You know, they have preconceived ideas. Now, I can tell them, but with his help, it comes out a whole lot better. And they realize, oh, Jim, I thought I had to have $350,000 for this house in order for me to. And the truth of the matter is, guess what? You only need $300,000 because that's all the market's going to pay for it anyway. I don't have any trouble with inspections. And the bottom line is that when they get done meeting with Marty, they are emotionally ready to move forward. They don't get offended when they get a lowball offer. They don't get offended when they want the Batman drapes. That they're in their 3-year-old. It's just an easy transition. So I do it from an emotional point of view. As far as the buyers go, I've come to figure out that the real profitability in real estate, and it's not different than yours, is real profitability is revenue less expenses plus your time equals profit. And we don't typically think about that. Well, I got to the point to where it's like, listen, you need to prove to me that you're ready to go on this journey. And since your financial fingerprint is going to determine what mortgage instrument you're going to use, then we're going to make an appointment with the best mortgage advisor in the area. And if they say no, I don't want to do that, basically what that tells me is they're not ready to buy a house. So I don't go show homes to anybody until after they've had a consultation with Marty. That's my filter that says that they are willing and able to do business with the mortgage.
Okay. And then the fifth one is it technically the client now becomes our client instead of his client. And I think a lot of lenders and real estate agents don't understand how that's beneficial to you. But early on, I would say that's the first thing that you really capitalized on. So you want to kind of tell them some of that?
Well, absolutely. So in our sales process, there's one thing, too, I want to make sure I don't miss this thought, is that I serve Marty up as being a high-demand advisor with restricted access. And because you're my client, I'm going to give you access to Marty. And it's one of the reasons that my clients don't shop, they don't shop Marty. I try to get that objection and the idea that a mortgage is a commodity, and it's something that is specific to that buyer. So by the time I create this picture that Marty has restricted access, and because of me, you get to meet with him, and then Marty does his thing. We get the house in process. Marty and I have orchestrated an award-winning performance, and that's exactly what we want to do on every single transaction. Well, in that process, that client's no longer mine, it's ours. So his staff, long after the sale, is following up and cultivating leads because we did such a great job. I'm doing the same thing. So every client going forward is ours. So this one client multiplies like hostis does. You know, you plant one and it just multiplies. Is that what we were looking for?
Yeah, there? And I think, you know, the early on, the very first thing is, you know, because we're really talking about just solving problems and helping each other. It's more or less like, hey, we're trying to get the same business. We're trying to help the same client. We're trying to do the best we can for the client. If we work together on this, we could probably do better than if I'm just doing it over here by myself or you are. So we have different strengths, different weaknesses. But one of his early on was he would write down things on sticky notes. And so he would get a lead, and he would write down their name and number on a sticky note. And then 3 weeks later, he would find that sticky note in his car somewhere. So one of the things we kind of talked through was, well, why don't you just get me that information, and then we'll make sure we get them pre-qualified and have them in a system and follow up with them and all that. So it's just, you know, there's a lot of little things and big things in there, but the client becomes ours. When we're following up with clients after closing, when we're thinking about gift ideas, everything that we do with our clients, we work on it together. So then it becomes a real focus of what can we do. We essentially have doubled the size of our team. We've doubled our resources. We've doubled not only human but financial resources and everything else to make it work. So anything else? We've definitely touched on the why, you know, the five things, and we've done some of the how I helped you get to that and kind of what we did. I want to go into a little bit more depth on that, and then I also want to talk about how you do it. But before I do that, is there anything else on the five reasons or any major thing on the why, any compelling thing for you as to why you make sure every client comes to us?
Well, Marty, as you may remember, it's about 7 years into my real estate career, and I'd come from a corporate background. I was very frustrated with real estate. I mean, I felt like I was totally out of control. It was like the lenders won't return phone calls. They won't say what they don't do what they say they're going to do. The home inspectors, all they want to do is just ruin real estate deals. And I just had this sense of I didn't have any control out of anything. And I just felt like I was a licensed lockbox unlocker. That's what I was, you know. I mean, that was it. I came from a background of identifying problems, providing solutions, closing it, and getting paid, and it just wasn't happening. So, you know, just in meeting with Marty, we were able to start to get strategic and really able to take a look at what were all of the problems and where was I getting bit by the rattlesnakes all along the process and me getting bit by them, and what could we strategically do together to take those snakes off the table and get the client from point A to point B quick and in an award-winning fashion. And I just cannot stress enough how identifying a loan expert and getting those clients purposefully to them, it was a complete game changer for me. Complete game changer. I went from $8 million in production to $40 million in 3 years, and I will tell you the only thing I did differently is I was sending my clients to a single lender, period.
By the way, we're in San Diego. In Kentucky, that's a lot. So, big question, everybody's... So we've covered the why to a good degree,
yeah.
And we're going to be outside later so people can come ask us more specific questions. But how do you do it? So you've got that. That's what everybody's thinking right now. Yeah, but my clients are different than your clients. Yeah. My clients are, yeah, they have three eyes and all that stuff. But you just don't understand, Jim. So you've got a client, and the client says, I'll give you an example of one. The client says, yeah, Jim, but you don't understand. I'm the president of a coal company. My company has over $10 million invested with this institution. I personally have over $1 million with them. When I say jump, they say how high. So how do you get people to come see me?
Well, not only that, but they had just sent him and his wife on a 3-week vacation to Europe and was getting ready to send them on another one later that year. And
they had good post-closing follow-up, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, here's the thing. Without taking a whole lot of time on one specific scenario, the bottom line is that through my home buying orientation, I my whole idea is to build up enough trust, and at the end is when I educate the client. I let them know that not all loans fit everybody. Everyone has a financial fingerprint as specific as to your own thumbprint. And it is impossible for any loan expert to tell you anything about rates and closing costs over the phone. They'll tell you what you want to hear, but in order for you to make an intellectual financial decision for you and your family, you will need to go to a mortgage planner who is trained to be able to take a look at your short, mid, and long-term goals and be able to make recommendations that's going to be best for you. You know, Cody, you do want to make an intelligent decision, don't you? Absolutely. So it's for that reason that we're going to get you to a resource that can give you intelligent information. So it's educating, Marty, and it's unfortunate that many of in my industry don't get and understand that.
Right.
I understand it because it allows me to make a whole lot more money a whole lot quicker, and that's why I'm in business.
Yeah, and I mean, sadly, I think a lot of times the reason they don't understand it is because the lender the experiences that they've had with lenders to date doesn't resemble that. So,
no.
You know, like with the example that we were talking about, essentially this guy was a former CFO, current CEO, and he literally said, I've got over $1 million with them and they sent me on trips and all that. And Jim was like, it's fine. You know, I understand you probably aren't going to use him. And he was like, no, I'm not going to use him. He's like, I understand you're not going to use him, but you know, it'll make me feel a lot better and make me sleep better at night because I have a fiduciary responsibility to my clients if you'll go meet with him, because all of my clients do, and that way I know you're at least getting the best loan for you. So the guy comes in and meets with me. He literally stands up while I'm walking into the conference room and says, just want to make sure we're clear. I told Jim I'm not going to use you. I was like, yes, sir. That was made very clear to me. You know, I just want to sit down and make sure your plan's right. So long story short, he's going to retire in a few years. We discuss a 5-year hybrid. He calls his bank while he's sitting there and says, is this not something you all offer? And they said, sure it is. And he goes, well, why didn't you tell me about it? He said, well, you didn't ask. So he got off the phone, said, I'm going with you. So worked out pretty well.
But see, I know that those are the kind of things that happen. And I also knew in the back of my mind, the bank that he was wanting to, it's like a lot of these banks, and no offense to anyone who works for banks in here, is that they're great commercial lenders, and they're not really, they just don't do a lot of residential loans. And it had been in my experience with this specific bank that he was going to do business with, that it was going to be a hassle. You know, so instead of me telling him what a hassle it was going to be for him to do business with this bank, I tried to give him all the reasons why it would be in his best interest to at least meet with Marty. If no other reason, let Marty tell his bank how to structure the loan. So luckily, I had enough trust from him for him to at least do me the favor. And, of course, Marty took care of the rest of it.
And I think it is important to note that both of us would have been okay if he would have still used his bank, because it sounds like a good script, but the truth is he feels like he does have that responsibility to make sure his clients get the best. He trusts me to help make sure they do it. So then at the end, you know, he trusts me also to tell him if that would have been a better deal, or that bank would have been the best option, or whatever. So, you know, I think the biggest point that I wanted to make out of this was that there's a reality of technology in our industry. It's just, it's there, it's going to happen, and it's a great thing. I think, in my opinion, most of the things that lenders are using technology for, and most of the things that lenders are even talking about using technology for, are maybe even the wrong things. But technology is going to be an amazing enhancement to all of us. The biggest complaint every client has right now is, golly, y'all make me get a billion documents. And just like you can hit a button and pull credit today, when I got started in the industry, you had to order it through your home office, and I've heard other people that it had to get mailed to them, you know. So technological advancements are huge, but there's also a very, very, very big reality to the humanity part of it. And that's the fact that people want to work with people they trust. Think of your mechanic. If you have a mechanic in your hometown you trust, taking your car to that mechanic is a totally different process than if you're out of town and have to drop it to somebody you don't trust. So people want to work with somebody they trust, but in order to gain trust, you have to earn trust. In order to earn trust, you have to be able to do something that's worthy of it. So I think all of us, and what Jim and I are spending most of our time now doing, is preparing for the future, is what is every possible thing that we can do together to add value to our client. You know, one thing that I heard recently, and I agree with wholeheartedly, is clients don't like the feeling of dealing with 10 different people. They like the feeling of dealing with one person they trust, okay? So like if you think about your team, if I'm working with Cody's team, the reality of it is I might work with four or five different people. With Ryan's team, I might work with seven or eight different people. But I'm still just working with Ryan, and I'm still just working with Cody, okay? Same with RJ. If I'm working with him, my trust is in RJ, okay? So that's what people want, is a feeling of that. And if we can do that through the entire process by working together, it really adds a lot of value. So I have no problem feeling like I'm part of Jim's team to a client, nor does he have any problem feeling like he's part of my team, because the goal is we're going to provide a level of service, a level of advice, a level of caring, a level of follow-up, everything that they've never seen before, and frankly, they've probably never heard of before. And I think that's how, going forward, not only can you ensure and I ensure that we're going to be in business, we can also, I believe, set our pay rate. You know, the better you are at those things, the more valuable that is. And there really is no limit to what a person needs when they're buying a new home. I mean, it can be anything from schools to physicians to math tutors to anything. It's unbelievable. And the better that we are at connecting people, the more valuable we're going to be. So I think that wraps up our time. You got anything you want to end with real quick?
Yeah, I just, I cannot stress how impactful it was for Marty to pass on the high trust lessons that he was learning through the coaching that he was receiving. And the message that I would, for you all out there who are thinking about showing up for lunch, don't think about it, just do it. And learn more about what high trust coaching can do for you. And don't look at it as what it's going to do for my business. Look at it for what it's going to do for the real estate agents in your market and how you can pass that on. Because, guys, I'm telling you that you can take your investment in your coaching and multiply it times 100. But it's not going to, if Marty hadn't had the knowledge and I hadn't have been a willing participant, this day would not be occurring and the numbers that we're talking about wouldn't be happening. So that's my advice.
That's great advice.
Yep. All right.
Thank you. Don't pull another.
Two questions.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Before you go. What percentage of buyers are you sending to Marty that haven't even begun the home shopping process?
All of them.
Okay, so that is one of your biggest takeaways right now, and that is, you know, you have to have first audience with every buyer before they even get engaged in going out and looking for property. And so build that cycle up front and build a runway a long time before they really, really are going to get active, because that gives you more time for trust, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It allows me to educate them about, you know, this is how not to shop for a loan.
Right.
Loans are not shoppable. Loans are things that you get educated by a mortgage planner. That's how you make those decisions. But if I don't have the home buyer orientation up front, right, and I try to do it as we're looking at houses, it never happens.
Okay. Here's your other game changer. If you're not getting 100% of your listing agents' sellers who are becoming buyers to have a conversation with you, you're leaving half of your business on the table. So that's a game changer. And then the other game changer is, for every buyer that Jim sends you that you close.
Yeah, so this
you
is.
You forgot this piece.
This is
the big piece.
This is something we've been tracking a lot lately, and it ends up being, it's kind of the our client thing, but my goal is for every client that he sends me is within a 12-month period to be able to send him one client back for that. Okay, so it's a little harder to track than we thought, because we do such a good job of working on it together. But the reality of it is, so far, for every client that we've had in the last 12 months that's closed, we've had at least one referral from them that we've been able to close. So if you do the math on that, you can double your business by focusing on taking care of that client. And it's a huge metric because, and Jim's amazing in a number of ways, but one of the things that amazes me the most is he's willing to go with me to meet with my other real estate agents to tell them that, and even other loan officers and stuff. So, but imagine the power of having an agent tell another agent that for every deal I send this guy, he sends me one back. That's a pretty, yeah, huge.
So that would be disruption in the pure sense, mm-hmm, of what you guys should be focused on, which is why last night I said that by the end of 2020, your B2B strategy has to be completely engaged, right? Because I don't think it's possible for you to bring a closed side back to Jim if you were not engaged in a B2B strategy.
No, we took 71 loan applications in one day from a company that one of his clients is another CEO of. We went to their company. Tracy, his wife, and I went to this company and did three different sessions. By the end of the day, we had 71 prequels from that one company.
Mm-hmm. So. One company.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Big round of applause for Marty and Jim. Thanks, brother.
See you, buddy. Take care.
See you.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the High Trust Today podcast. If you want to make this year your best year ever and double, triple, or even quadruple your volume and performance, then I want you to click the link for your ticket to Sales Mastery in the show notes to find out how you can make more money in less time with less stress.